you stand with us as we begin our worship time with Everlasting God?
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.
Our God, who reigns forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer.
You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
As we continue our worship this morning, greet one another. Very talkative this morning. Hello, hello, hello. Well, we do want to say good morning to everyone. Y'all look really good out there. We've got several people that are out and about traveling on vacation, but we've got visitors. So we thank you for coming in and joining us this morning. You guys make yourselves at home this morning. We hope you guys will sit back, relax, and just have a good time with us this morning. I'm going to switch real quick to our bulletin. We've not got a lot going on, but we've got enough going on that I want to touch on a few things. First one being is we've got camp this week. We've got camp for our first through our sixth graders. And so if you've got any kids in that age group, If you can pay attention just real quickly, our first and second graders have camp Monday, Tuesday through half of Wednesday. And then our third and fourth graders go the second half of Wednesday, Thursday, and then come back, I believe it's on Friday. And then our fifth and sixth graders leave on next Sunday. So we've got camp going on. It's an exciting time. Sometimes it's a nervous time for those kids that aren't used to being away from mom and dad for extended amounts of time. But then we've got mom and dad that are kind of excited because we've got kids that are going to be going away for an extended period of time. So hopefully it'll be an enjoyable time for everybody involved. So be in prayer for those moms and dads and for those kids.
Since you're talking about kids, I forgot to tell you about this.
You did forget to tell me about
that. I forgot to tell you about this. But we have a really good working relationship with the police department here in Nixa, and we've developed over the years a great relationship with Officer Brent Forgy, who is the public relations officer, the DARE officer. He's worked with a lot of our children as they've come through the school system. Anyway, Brent called me this week and just wanted me to let our folks know that have kids 3 years of age to 8 years of age, that if they're interested, that at the community center this week, for just the cost of $20, there is a class that's going on Monday through Friday for 3 hours, 8 to 11. They call it Safety Town, and it just familiarizes kids with traffic rules and law enforcement people and fire people and all the folks that they need to be able to trust and know and what's expected of them. So I have the information, and we'll put it out on the bulletin board. So if you have interest in that, if you have children 3 through 8 years of age, they can attend this next week, the 11th through the 15th, from 8 to 11 in the morning at the community center here in Nixa. And if you need information, just let me know, and I'll get it to you.
Good little program. Very good program. Tuesday night this week, we have a softball game, our men's softball team. Now, it's at 9:45. Now, that might be a little late for some of you, but I've said in the past, with it being that late, hopefully it'll be a little bit cooler temperature-wise. So 9:45 down at the Ozark Riverside Park. Come out, support your men's softball team. Then we've got a couple wedding showers coming up. We've got a couple that have already gotten married, and then we've got another couple that are getting ready to get married. So we've got a couple wedding showers. The first one is on the 18th of this month, Zach and Nicole Gatlin. They were married, I believe it was last month or maybe the prior month. But they've got a wedding shower on the 18th at 7 p.m. And then Tiffany Raper and Stevie Beachler have a wedding shower on the 30th of this month at 10 a.m. So be looking forward to those upcoming dates. Keep these bulletins handy. We've got a lot of things coming up during the summer, a lot of different outreaches, so be looking to the bulletin, see the different ways that you can participate in each one of those.
I'd like to ask our ushers to come forward at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings.
Portion that you have asked us to. Break it, spread it, use it. In your precious holy name, amen.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise.
With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm,
His love endures forever. For the life has been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever.
So near, so precious to me. Wonderful. heart is filled with praises to Thee. Jesus, my Lord, I'll ever adore Thee. Lay at Thy feet my treasures of love. Lead me in ways to show forth Thy glory, ways that will end in heaven above. Wonderful Savior, Thou art so near, so precious to me. Wonderful Savior, my heart is filled with praises to Thee. When in Thy bright and beautiful city, I shall behold Thy glories untold. I shall be like Thee, wonderful Savior, and I will sing while ages unfold. Wonderful Savior, Thou art so near, so precious to me. Wonderful Savior, my heart is filled with praises to Thee.
Would you stand with us?
Lord, we praise You. Lord, we praise You. Lord, we praise You. We praise You, Lord. Lord, we love You. Lord, we love You. Lord, we love You. We love You, Lord. Alleluia.
I'm thankful that we have a God in heaven who loves us, who is all-sufficient and all-powerful, can respond to our every need, knows everything about everybody, but somehow has time for every small detail of our lives, and what is of concern to us is of concern to Him. It's almost unfathomable. But I'm thankful this morning that I believe that it's true, and that that great God is more than able to handle all of our situations, to deal with whatever challenges are before us. And as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, these altars are open to you. If you have need of a place to lay down burdens or to lift up praise, you feel free to come and just find a place. No one's going to bother you. It'll be your private and personal time with God this morning. There are a couple of things that we would like to pass on to you. There are things that are ongoing in our bulletin, but sometimes things change even from the time we print a bulletin on Friday till Sunday morning. You know, the world doesn't stop. And things can happen and make things different situations. And we've been talking to you for several weeks now, months now, about Rick Freeman, who had been in the hospital now for 6 months, in and out to a rehab hospital in Mercy, had unhealable bed sores, and had run into other multiple, there were just multiplying health issues. And Rick is the husband of a very good personal friend of Dee Jennings. And her name is Cecilia. It's Rick's wife. And so Dee had been kind of keeping me abreast of the situation. But we found out yesterday. I had just been to see Rick on Tuesday. With the understanding that the hospice had been called in, and we had a good visit. We talked, we prayed together, and I thought, you know, there's going to be some time here. And then Dee got a message to me yesterday that Rick passed away yesterday. He's younger than I am. But in the midst of that grief, of that loss, Rick had a good personal testimony, and he didn't have any bed sores anymore. He doesn't have any unhealable wounds, and he's not going through great pain. And that's the consolation that we have. It doesn't mean we're not heartbroken and saddened, but that is the consolation that we have. That there's better days than in this place. And we live every day here with the anticipation and the hope of being there. And so pray for Cecilia, his wife, this morning as they work through whatever arrangements need to be made and things that have to be done. And then we have been very good friends. Many of you are very good friends with the Myers family. They have been a part of the Grace Church from its beginning, and some of the relatives were some of my Sunday school teachers, but we just got word, and I've not been able to confirm all the details on this, but we received word that Kay Myers, who is Steve's wife, has been diagnosed with cancer. And so we want to pray for the Myers family. We'll do our best to find out accurate information. That's just kind of in general, but that's all that I know at this point. And so they have been a part of the church for a long time. And so pray for their family, the Myers family. They're a big family, large family, many people. And they've been involved in many facets of the church. So pray that indeed God will touch them, be with them, bless them. Don and Ruth were their pastors for a while. And so we just ask that you would remember them. Several of our folks continuing ongoing battles. Iris with got some issues. Burt Mills, Lonnie Groves, just a myriad of names. We want to remember Brett and Mindy still trying to secure employment after his job loss, and so pray for them as well as an ongoing list of issues that are here in our bulletin. We've got people that are traveling. Obviously, a lot of our folks are out today. On vacation and various other things during the summer. And so pray for their traveling mercies and for their safe return to us. And I know that our grandma piano player had a few days with her grandkids from Nashville, and they headed back today. So pray for their safety and pray that God will bless them. And family's big to us around here. And we are family. And so our God, again, is more than able. And so we're going to sing. And if you have need of a place of prayer, you come find a place. Nobody will bother you. And then we're going to lift our voices together in prayer.
He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen.
Father, we are a blessed people and we want to be grateful today. We want to give thanks for all that you have done for us, for all that you are to us. Thank you for being the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-sufficient God. And so, Lord, as we come to this place and time in the service, because we believe that's exactly who and what you are, we are able to take the things that are beyond our abilities, beyond our talents, beyond our knowledge, and we commit them into your hands in the hope that you indeed have all answers. You are the solution to all problems. And so we have confidence in you and we commit these things, an entire list of them in our bulletin, another list written on our hearts. And Lord, we just lay them on the altar of prayer this morning. And we commit them to you because we know that you can do something about every situation. We have complete faith and trust in you. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege of coming to a place to release our burdens. Thank you for helping us to carry them. Lord, you said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so, Lord, we come this morning. We come to lay down burdens and say, Lord, this is too heavy for us to carry, and we don't know what to do. So we put it at the foot of the cross. We lay it in your lap, and we commit the situation to you. Lord, we also come with great thanksgiving, thanking you for all of your blessing. And Lord, we just are forever grateful for the plan of salvation, for the gift of forgiveness, for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit as an indwelling personality in our life, that we have the assurance and the promise that you will never leave us or forsake us, but that you will be with us always, even to the end of the world. And Lord, it would seem like that might be closer every day. Lord, we know that you have promised to return and to retrieve the church. And so, Lord, we want to be faithful and we want to be ready. And so, Lord, we just ask that you indeed would give each person comfort today and the assurance that you are already on the task, whatever is on their heart this day. Father, we pray that you would touch those who are traveling. Watch over them. Keep them safe. Indeed, bless our families. Lord, we think particularly of Brett and Mindy today that need employment. Lord, it's one thing to say that we trust God, and yet each day and each week that goes further away from the loss of income creates a greater challenge, and indeed, Father, presses us as human beings. Lord, we know that their faith is in you. We have seen it in writing. We have heard it from their own lips. And so, Lord, we pray that you would honor their prayers and that you would open doors of opportunity for them to provide for them. Lord, we pray this morning if there's someone within this sanctuary that has come this morning and there's just something that's between you and them, Lord, that this would be a day for them to resolve that and to go away in victory and complete confidence that that you are walking alongside them every step of the way. Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. We thank you for this church family and for the privilege of worship today to tell you how we feel about you and to look into your word and let you speak to us and give us guidance for our lives. We commit each name in the bulletin and each situation to you, asking you to intervene and to work as you know is best for each thing, each person. And for all this, Father, we again will be grateful and we will give you the praise and the honor and the glory as we worship you today and thank you for your presence with us as we gather. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. you have your Bibles this morning with you, you can turn to the book of Job. This is indeed, in my opinion, one of the greatest stories or historical accounts. Sometimes when you use the word story, that doesn't necessarily mean truth. People tell stories. So this is more than a story. It is a historical account that has within it many, many, many lessons for us. I really had planned to preach something totally different. Matter of fact, I'd worked a good part of the week on another message, but I guess it'll have to come out at another time. Because as I tried to prepare that and move forward in presenting it to be put into the slides and various things for the weekend, then I just was not comfortable with that. God began to deal with my heart. And so I've come this direction. And so I want to share with you a message that I would entitle, When Things Don't Go As Planned. How many of you have ever had a plan that didn't get lived out? How many of you answered the question multiple times as a young person growing up? How many of you were asked the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? And how many of you, from the time you could speak your first words and you spoke forth what you were going to be, how many of you have stuck with that one thing and never changed your mind from the time you were about 2 years old? I see Jacqueline's hand, but I don't see the rest of her. You're the only hand I saw, Jacqueline. So tell me, what do you want to be when you grow up? A doctor. Well, that's a worthy achievement. And if you see the population and the age of this church, it's job security. Because we all need doctors. I've had 5 surgical procedures since January 26th. I need a good doctor. So hang in there and stay with that. Although some of us, by the time you make it through junior high and high school, and then medical school, some of us may have already gone to spend eternity with Jesus. But they'll still need doctors when you get there. Now, how many of you, then, that leaves the rest of us, how many of you, when asked the question, what do you want to be when you grow up, have changed that a few times along the way? I got to tell you, there's not a lot of cowboys around here. I was going to be a cowboy. I was going to be a fireman. I was going to be a policeman. And then when I got about early teenage years, I was going to be either a stand-up comedian or I was going to be Elvis. Or the closest resemblance I could make. I wanted to be an entertainer. I wanted to be on the stage. I wanted to have bright lights in my face. I wanted to go to the big city. And so as I look back over my life history, from the time I was 20 years old until now, I've been on a stage every week. And some of them have bright lights. And I've been to a large, I've been on tour in places such as Dogwood and Split Log and some of those major metropolises of America. But you know, what I can say to you today is that while where I'm at now and the course it's taken to get here has been different than maybe what I thought when I was a young person, I'm glad to be in the center of God's will. That's the place to be. Wherever that takes you, that's the place to be. But I say all that to say this, to remind you that when we are young, we have hopes and dreams. How many of you believe that you have reached and achieved your hopes and dreams? Or how many of you would say, well, maybe I've done a few things, but I've fallen a little short of my hopes and dreams. Or maybe life took me down a different path than I would have anticipated. Now, as you went down that path, some of you found someone that you loved and you married them. And in that process of expressing your love and appreciation for them, then these little human beings appeared. We call them children. And as a parent, you go through a whole new set of emotions and a whole new gauntlet of feelings because they begin to say, I want to be a cowboy when I grow up. Or I want to be a fireman, or I want to be a nurse, or I want to be a teacher, or I want to be a mommy, or I want to be this or that. And all of a sudden, we change our focus from our own hopes and dreams oftentimes to doing everything we possibly can to help those little human beings achieve their hopes and dreams. Now, without going into any details this morning, how many of you are you here this morning that somewhere along the way, one or more of those little human beings in your life that you were trying to help them achieve their hopes and dreams, something happened along the way that might have put a kink in those things? And maybe everything didn't turn out the way you thought, the way you hoped. And so you've gone through disappointment. Some of you have gone through heartbreak. We could describe all kinds of emotions that have happened. But oftentimes, there's somebody who's never wanted to be anything but a doctor that grows up and becomes a doctor. And then they can pay our way through retirement. And we're very, very proud of all that they've become and all that they've achieved. And Jacqueline, I hope that you become the best doctor in the entire world. But if you look at the book of Job, you find out some things. I want to read to you two verses out of the book of Job this morning that kind of set the stage for this message as far as our perspective and where we see things and where we need to be. I want to read to you first from Job chapter 17, verse 11. My days have passed. My plans are shattered. And so are the desires of my heart. You ever been there? Listen now, because this is where we want to get to. In Job chapter 42 and verse 2, it says this. I know that you can do all things and no plan of yours can be thwarted. That's why it's so important to get our plans in line with God's plans. I want to talk to you about three perspectives this morning, three things in regard to life and how it plays out. I want to talk to you about the reality of life. I want to talk to you about our response to life. And I want to talk to you about the reward that God can have for us if we indeed connect with Him along the way. And so I want to begin this morning by just reminding you of the history that we're talking about here. And in Job chapter 1, we find out that Job is basically one of the most well-off men in the world at that point in time. He's doing very, very well. He has a lot of stuff.
He has a large family. And things are going very good for him. And it says he was a man that was blameless and upright, and he feared God and he shunned evil. I mean, he had the best of both worlds. He was spiritually where he needed to be, and God was blessing him materially. Here's the reality of life. Life has a lot of challenges. I see these challenges coming kind of two directions. As I look at the book of Job, I come to realize that some things in life happen, even though we don't know it at the time, some things in life happen because God allows them to happen. Almost as a testing of us. Job chapter 1 and verse 12, then the Lord said to Satan, and we already know that God and Satan are having this conversation, and Satan is saying, you know, you kind of play special with Job, and really if you'd get your hands off of him, why, he'd crumble like everybody else. In verse 12 it says, the Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. So what he was saying was, you can have his possessions, but you can't have Job. So the enemy goes after him. And in chapter 2 and verse 6, he comes again, and Satan basically says, well, you know, you let me take all his stuff, because we know that he lost all of his livestock and his children. He was left with a nagging wife and four tired slaves. That's all he had left. The four people who came and reported all of his losses to him, and a wife who is saying, good night. Why do you still even care about this God who just destroyed you or allowed you to be destroyed? Chapter 2 and verse 6, God even allows Satan to attack him, but not to take his life. The Lord said to Satan, very well, then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life. And so we know that Job went through the most miserable of existences, and his body basically was covered in boils, and he would take a clay pot and he would scrape the boils off his skin. So basically, Job spent a good part of his life with open sores all the time. Singing victory in Jesus every day. Now, life is full of challenges, and some of those challenges are from the enemy. And God allows us to go through some testing, but here's the thing you got to catch right here. How much stuff could the devil do to Job? Only as much as God said he could. Do you know that God feels exactly the same way about you as he did about Job? The lesson that we learn, which I think is a very positive lesson here, is, yeah, okay, life is full of challenges, and the devil is the prince of the earth, and sin is out there, and corruptness is out there, and so there's going to be stuff that's going to happen in life, and it's going to be challenging. But here's the deal. There's a God in heaven who loves me, and if my life is surrendered to him, then the devil can only do what God allows. What was the promise to me from God? I will never give you any more than you can bear. Now, I assure you that when God made that statement to us, he was not relying upon our ability. What was he counting on? His own spirit in us. He knows his capabilities. So life is full of challenges that are allowed by God. But here's another deal. If you get out of the book of Job and you get into the prophet Jeremiah, we find another attitude that's prevalent in our world. In Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 12, we find these words. But they will reply, "It's no use. We will continue with our own plans. Each of us will follow the stubbornness of his evil heart." And there is within us, until we come to that place of full and complete surrender, even as forgiven, born-again believers, there is a place within our life to where we still want to run the show. We want our ticket out of hell. We want our sins forgiven. We want to know that we're going to go to heaven. But as long as we're here, we still want God not getting too much into our life because we'd like to run our own deal. And a lot of people live that way. They just don't live very well. They live miserable. Because when the Spirit of God becomes present in us, He wants to come to the place where He's president of us. And that's the only time that we're going to be happy, is when we finally give up and die and let God have complete charge of things. Because here's the deal. I have yet to see a human being who was running his own show that was ever very good at it. Didn't get himself into trouble, didn't create some bad situations. And indeed, sometimes we have that attitude. And so not only are there things sometimes that come because of the allowances of God as the tests of life, but the truth of the matter is sometimes we're our own worst enemy. We shoot ourselves in the foot because we make really bad choices. How many of you here, from the time you've been born, have ever made a choice to do something that you absolutely knew you shouldn't do? Okay, you're not in a real confessional mood this morning. I can see that. I got a pretty good feeling. I know the head count. How many of us have ever uttered those words, "I know it's wrong, but"? Good night. Do you realize what that is? That's absolute disobedience. "I know it's wrong, but." There were consequences when I would say that kind of stuff in regard to the things my parents taught me. The rules that were set forth at the house I grew up in, if I had that kind of attitude, there were going to be consequences. And folks, you can't escape this life without consequences with that kind of attitude. If we know it's wrong, then we ought to stop right then and there. Because the Bible says, to him that knows to do right and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. So we're just committing sin on purpose when we have that attitude. And God can't help us in that place. Because where God enters into the picture is when we repent of our sin, which means to acknowledge it and turn around and do something different with His help. So the reality is, not all the challenges of this life can we blame on somebody else. Sometimes we're shooting ourselves in the foot. And we need to acknowledge that and ask God to help us change that, because He can and He will. So we're kind of getting into it, and let's just move on there. Let's talk about, we know that life has challenges. Things don't always go the way that we want. Things don't always go the way we hope for our children. So what's our response? What's our response to this situation in life? Well, I want you to, you know, Job started getting those messengers coming in. And in chapter 1 and verse 21, the first messenger has come in. And Job says this. He fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Now, that's what every one of us says every time, isn't it? No, because we live in an entitlement nation. So somebody else is supposed to take care of us. When things go bad and things go wrong, somebody's supposed to bail us out. Somewhere, somebody tore the page out of one of the books that some people are reading where it says, take responsibility for your own actions. Some people never read that page. And that's why the world looks like it does. Job gets another set of messages where he gets all this stuff taken away. The second message is he's got his body full of these sores, and so his wife says to him, because she's the great helpmate and encourager that she should be, she says, why don't you curse God and die? There's what you need for spiritual help. And it could have just as well been a woman and a man saying the same thing to her, so don't get to laughing too hard, men. Somewhere she missed the 12 steps of support. I don't know. But this is what Job said. You're talking like a foolish woman. I wonder if that's the only time he ever said that. He said it here. Job was obviously a man who didn't care what the consequences might be. You're talking like a foolish woman. I know a lot of guys have thought that, but they would not dare say it. But that's really not the important part of what he said. He went on to say, shall we accept good from God and not trouble? Do you think Job wanted all this stuff to happen? Do you think Job wanted his children to be dead? Do you think Job wanted all of his material possessions to be gone? I don't think he did. But Job had the right perspective on life. I didn't arrive with a whole lot of stuff. When I go out, somebody else will take possession of my stuff. So if I lose the stuff in between, but I still got God, I'm in pretty good shape. Oh yeah, and by the way, scrape, scrape, scrape. Can I accept the blessings of God and not pass the tests? How will my neighbors know about God if I don't show them what God can do? If I don't show them that no matter what the challenge of life is, no matter what the reason for the challenge is, that God will walk beside me and hold me in His right hand and I can make it. In Job, in the 27th chapter, bless his heart, his three best buddies come to see him and help him in his time of need by telling him, well, good grief, Job, you must have done something wrong or God wouldn't have done all this stuff to you. His wife has given him such positive feedback. And his friends are helping him with great support. Well, come on, Job, you must be a sinner. You must be some, you know, got to be doing something wrong. This stuff only happens to people who do bad stuff. So figure out what you're doing wrong. Job had the right perspective about God, and to be quite honest, now, I hope you don't misinterpret what I'm about to say here, but Job had the right perspective of himself. You know, part of the world's problems, all the baggage that people are carrying around because of low self-esteem, because of messages they got from other people that they believe to be true that aren't. Job saw himself as he should. If you look in the 27th chapter of Job at verses 5 and 6, he says, I will never admit you are in the right till I die. I will not deny my integrity. I will maintain my righteousness and never let go of it. My conscience will not reproach me as long as I live. If you have confidence in your God and you have confidence in your relationship with God, then you have confidence in who you are. You know, you can handle a lot of stuff in life. But if you're second guessing yourself all the time and you can't trust God to take care of you, then you're going to have a lot of misery. Because life, I'm just telling you right now, life is not going to be a bed of roses all the way through from start to finish. But now here is a really cool part. In the 42nd chapter of Job, in the 7th verse, God speaks. And he speaks not only to Job, but he speaks to his three buddies. And this is what the Lord said to Job, and it says he said to Eliphaz and the Temanite, I am angry with you and your two friends because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. Wow. How do you think Job felt then? Vindicated by God himself. Job, you are not arrogant. You are not conceited. You are just in right relationship and you correctly evaluated it. You are just fine. And by the way, your three buddies need to make sacrifice, and I want you to pray an intercessory prayer for them. Otherwise, I'm probably going to fry them to a crisp. Well, that's not exactly what the Bible says, but it was close. So here's the deal. If we've got our head and our heart right, we can see things through the right eyes, and we can have the right perspective. And I'm telling you, between you and God, there is nothing the devil out of hell can throw at you that you can't handle. You may not like most of it, or any of it. And it may hurt, and you may be broken, but I'm telling you, by the grace of God, if you hang on to heaven, you're going to make it. Even when stuff doesn't go the way you plan, not only for your life, but the life of your kids. Proverbs 22:6 says, train a child up in the way they should go. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. And folks, it doesn't matter how old your kids get sometimes, as long as you got breath left, no matter how old you are, they may need to call you and say, what do you think about this? And you need to be able to tell them the right stuff with the right attitude and the right reasons and the right scripture. Because you may be God with skin on for them. And here's the promise. Here's when we read the book, when we see the whole story, here's the promise. There is a reward at the end because our God is a God of redemption and restoration. I'm telling you, you can't do anything so bad God can't bring you back from it. And you can't do anything so horrible that you're too far to reach God because His arm is longer than yours and He'll reach you. So when life doesn't go the way we planned, instead of crying our eyes out, instead of saying, woe is me, instead of, you know, I'm not saying that there's not going to be some heartbreak. I'm not saying there's not going to be some grieving. I'm not saying that some of that stuff isn't going to happen. But there's a point where we realize, hey, the great God Jehovah, the God of heaven, the sovereign creator of the universe is my Father. And He loves me. And so I'm going to go to Him. Better yet, if you just go to Him in the beginning, He'll walk through all this with you. That's the sad part, is that sometimes He wants to be with us and we leave Him out of it. Job's children were killed. His livestock was taken. He was reduced to virtually nothing. And he said, well, I didn't have anything when I started. Don't have anything now. But praise God, I got God. That's not a bad deal. I see the world doesn't see it that way, but I'm not looking at the world. I'm looking into eternity. I'm not going to be here forever, but I'm going to be there forever, someplace. This is a passing through, getting ready place. And Job never once failed God. He questioned some things. If you read the whole book, he questioned some things. He got pretty depressed, but he never gave up. And he clung to God, and God held on to him. And in Job chapter 42 and verse 10, it says, after Job prayed that intercessory prayer for his friends, who didn't have a clue what they were talking about, after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. So he had twice as many camels and twice as many donkeys and twice as many oxen and twice as many sheep as he had at the start of the book. That's a lot of livestock. And it says in verse 12, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. Matter of fact, he had more children, and they had children, and Job had grandchildren. Now, you can't lose a child and replace it with another one. That's not how it works. You don't forget about the ones you lost and just rejoice in those that are alive. It doesn't work that way. That Job trusted God, and God blessed him with a restoration of a family and people to love him and support him in his old age and to be with him. He replaced all of his livestock. And the bottom line is here, this blessing, this restoration, this redemption came because God was always the focal point in Job's life. It was always about what God wanted. It was never about what Job wanted. Job had lots of stuff to become preoccupied with, but he never did. He still was preoccupied with God. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3 says this, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. You know why that works? Stop and think about it. If you commit to the Lord whatever you do, what does that mean? You're saying, Lord, I will do whatever it is you want me to. So now all God has to do is what He wanted done in the first place through you. And it's going to succeed because it was God's plan to start out with. The whole deal is, you're giving up your own independent notion that started out of a corrupt heart and mind, and you're submitting a sanctified life and a sanctified heart and a sanctified mind to God. You're saying, God, what are we going to do today? What are you and me going to do together? And those plans will succeed because God is God. There was a prayer that was prayed by a man who was not just your ordinary man. It was prayed in a place called Gethsemane. It went something like this. Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. Do you realize that if you believe that God is working out His will and His plan in your life and everything that takes place, either God has allowed or has orchestrated in some way to make you a better person, to help you, do you realize how much more positively you can go through life? Rather than always looking for somebody to blame or somebody to be angry at or some rationalization to make or some way to respond to the challenges of life that just leave you in a negative frame of mind. There's a story that's told about these two boys. One of them was always negative, and one of them was always positive. And so this psychologist was dealing with the parents because the parents were trying to get these two boys to kind of be on level ground. And they went to the psychologist, and the psychologist said, I've got the answer. I can fix this problem. And so he took the little boy who was negative, and he said, now what I want you to do is I want you to buy a lot of toys. And they'll put that little boy in a room, and it's all the toys he's ever talked about. We're going to buy those toys, and we'll put him in that room. We're going to give him everything he ever wanted. And they put that little boy in that room, and they put all those toys in there, and he played for a little bit, and then he started to cry. That wasn't the way that's supposed to go. And they went in there, and they said, young man, what's the matter? He said, oh, these toys, they'll break eventually, and then I won't have them to play with anymore. And they took the other little boy that was always positive, and they put him in a room full of horse manure. And he was having the time of his life. There was manure hitting the fan everywhere you went. And they went in and said, what in the deal? What is up with you? He goes, oh, man, with all this manure, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. See, life is, the whole deal is how you respond to the stuff. How do you respond to the stuff? When life doesn't go the way you planned, how do you respond to the stuff? Do you see a God who's bigger and better than anything and everything, who is at the top of it all and is going to pull you through? Or do you tend to get hung up in every little situation and forget that there's a God in heaven who you're connected to, who runs everything, who made everything, who knows everything? And that whatever can happen, whatever can go wrong, down the middle of the steps, no handles, whatever goes wrong, God can fix it. There's not anything in this life that can get so bad that God can't fix it. But you got to put your faith and trust in God. You got to listen to God. You got to do things God's way. Commit your plans to the Lord. That means, that's not praying, Lord, here's what I'd like to happen, bless this. It's, Lord, whatever you want from me, I'm in. I accept. Because then everything is okay. What happens when things don't go the way you planned? Naked I came in, naked I'll go out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I accept good without bad? Well, praise the Lord. It's going to get better. Stand with me. I'm just pretty sure at some point in time, most of you have had situations where you had to deal with stuff that wasn't what you hoped for. Wasn't what you planned for. Sometimes it might have been of your own making. Sometimes it was other people's making. Bottom line is God doesn't care about which way it is. God can fix either one. Maybe this morning there's somebody here who's just going through it. You're just going through it. And to be quite honest, for you, in some moments lately, life looks like a room full of manure. I'm going to tell you, if you'll hang on to God, there's a pony in there somewhere. But you got to quit doing stuff your own way. You got to quit thinking your own thoughts. You got to start listening to God. You got to follow Him. You got to trust Him. And so these altars are open. No music playing, no heavy appeal. Just these altars are open. If you're here this morning and life is not going the way you planned and you just need to commit it to God, these altars are open to you. You can just give it to Him. Just lay it all down there. And the cool thing about God is you can vent to Him. You can say to God, man, I'm mad at you. I couldn't do that for a long time. I was kind of raised to where you don't question God about anything. And then my mom told me one time, she said, well, you can do whatever Jesus did. What did Jesus do when He was hanging on the cross? He questioned God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of you have been in some situations in life where that's exactly what you wanted to say. My God, why have you forsaken me? And He's up in heaven going, I'm still right here where I've always been. And then we need to check out the stuff of our own life. God loves you. He wants to help you through. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, just help us to fairly evaluate life this morning. And Lord, if we need to just lay some things down to you, just give us the strength and the courage to step out from where we're at, to find a place in an altar prayer and just say, Lord, here it is. I'm going to give it to you. Anybody like that? Anybody that needs a place to pray? Father, we thank you for Miss Ida this morning. Thank you for her coming to be here and worship with us today. Lord, I just pray right now that whatever is on her heart and her mind, that you would wrap your arms around her and that you would assure her that you are her Savior and her Lord, and you're going to see her through whatever's going on, Lord, that you got it under control. You're going to handle it. And everything's going to be okay. And we're just going to trust you and we're going to thank you because you are the God of heaven. And you are all-powerful and all-knowing. And you can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we ask or imagine. So, Lord, we just agree with Sister Ida in prayer this morning that God is going to handle whatever's going on in her life. In Jesus' name. Ida, do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Miss Ida. Thank you. Thank you. God is good. All the time. You know, one of the cool things about being in the ministry is God takes you places and you meet people. And you make friends. And they're your friends forever. And you realize that really is true. They're your friends forever because they're going to heaven with you and you're going to be stuck with them all the rest of the time. But one of the greatest compliments that any minister can receive is when people who call you friend come to worship with you and sit in your service and listen to you preach, no matter how bad you are. Just because they're friends and they love you. And it's a great joy to have Pike and Judy Moore in service with us today. Pike and Judy's son, Ben, in 91, was our intern youth minister here, and he lived in my house all summer. I tried to corrupt him, but he was a better man than I am. Pike and Judy, thank you so much. Brother Pike, would you pray a closing prayer for us this morning, please?